You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, please, to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Perhaps we can open in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we're thankful for your person, power, presence, purpose. Honor yourself among us, about us, in us. We think of all the believers across the face of the earth that truly seek your face. God, encourage them, strengthen them. Thank you for being there as you are here. So deal with us, and we'll be pleased that we might be exercised, exhorted, enlightened, encouraged to give you your rightful place, to enjoy you in all of your fullness. And our God will thank you. In Christ's name, amen. You and I, in our study of the Gospel of John, the last living apostle, is going to bring to us that which summarizes the Old Testament, brings the New Testament into focus, and tells us what it's all about. It's all about God making himself known to the human heart, for God to be honored and glorified, for humans to enjoy the reason for their creation. And that's what it's all about. And you remember, if you read in Luke and John, 5:20, all that stuff, 5:39, these scriptures are given for one reason, to bring us to God, to help us understand God, his person, his works, his ways, and thus his person, to be able to honor him and appreciate him. And so John brings that all together in a wonderful way for us. Now, having said that, here we are on planet Earth, and we are creatures up and down. The 7 billion of us are on planet Earth at the moment. I've probably gone up from that. You know, the little things where they're counting. You ever see those things that are rolling away for seconds and indebtedness and everything? And who knows, we're past 7 billion. Now, having said that, we have come forth, and we are humans, especially in this country, other countries too. We have been in the environment of evolution. And evolution, you know, you're an overgrown leaf. You are sort of an accident. You are the result of some chemicals that decided to become alive. And then we have communism, which is still very popular, socialism, communism. And we have that, and communism says the same thing that evolution does, a dialectic materialism, communism, and then that we're just nothing. We're just piece of wood, wall, brick, we're expendable. That's why you can kill, they did, millions, not thousands, millions of people, millions of them. They could do that, that's right, because we're nothing. And then you add to that Freudian psychology, Sigmund Freud, and you add that to it, and so we have the evolution and the communist dialectic materialism, its influence, socialism. And then we add the Freudian psychology, and you can understand the need for Freudian psychology because you need to be happy. And Freudian psychology says, be a happy leaf, be a happy something, be a happy you're involved. Freudian psychology, make the best of it. And then we want to add another word, humanism. Humanism, we're humans. And we work at being humans. And we have a human rationale, a human approach, an earthly approach. No intent of going higher than the earth, except in a rocket ship to the Mars or something. And so now what have we got? Well, we've got humans that are unquestionably made of the dust of the ground, unquestionably. We all are dust. We came from dust. We are dust. We go back to dust. And all of history of all of the humans verifies and makes that understandable. We die and we go back to the ground where we came from physically. And we do that. Now, if that's all we've got is the evolution and communism and Freudian psychology and humanism, and we put all that together, subconsciously or not, it's there floating in the air with people, newscasters, people that make media programs, motion pictures, and it's in the air now. And it's in our philosophy of government and education. Now, God, you that's where we've come from that to that place today. So, God, what have you done? Well, I said I had a man, John, the last living apostle, and I had him write. I had him write to let everyone know how to put this together, because they're going to get all messed up. And so, in the light of what is true, is the Old Testament true, is the New Testament true, is God God, or are there other gods, etc. Now, John is going to help us. And thus you know, we read in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. God in his wonderful person made himself known. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Everything that has existence is because God made it. Everything, including angels, anything, anywhere, God did it. So you have the right to be creator and to be exclusively the creator and to be honored as the creator. That's true. Now, what did you do? Well, God, you made yourself known. And the Word, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory, his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And remember, the only begotten Son, the unique, one of a kind, the only one like him, born of the Virgin Mary, born in Bethlehem of Judea, etc. And thus, he is the unique human, as it were, human. God made a unique human in his full humanity to be indwelt with his full deity. He's the God-man. And we share together in the only begotten, the only was made flesh, verse 14, and that's flesh and blood. And we share the importance that it isn't just a body. He didn't step into something and out of it. He put on flesh and blood. We live in a body of flesh and blood. And the flesh and blood that we live in houses me and you, houses us. And that body is condemned because of sin. God put himself in a body, flesh and blood, just like we have, so that he could take us to the cross. Not something other than truly what we are. Flesh, blood, bones, brawn, beauty. It's us. And to take us to the cross as we really are. He didn't die in some magical way. He died literally. He took this body you live in and he took it to the cross. When he took the body to the cross, he took you to the cross. He took you there in this body that you live in right now. And that's the gospel, the good news. Christ died for our sins. He took us in his own body, perfect substitute, to be a perfect Savior. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, he's the unique Son of God. He brings forth the glory, the wonderful glory of the Father. from the Father. The source of this glory, the source of his being, is God the Father. God indwelt, dust in deity. God the God-man. And thus he comes, and he comes, he's the only begotten, as I said, the unique of the Father. He's out from the Father. He's like no one else, nothing else, anywhere and forever. And thus, and when he comes, he's full, like a full glass of water, a full ear of corn, full, complete, whole. He's full of grace and truth. Now, skipping down, if I may, to verse 16. And of his fullness have we received grace for grace. Now, I just want to take a minute in order to, otherwise we could read it, and it go right past us, and fullness glass of water, fullness of an ear of corn, gone. Hold it now. Why do you want to help us understand that God, you came in flesh and blood. That's right. You were born of the Virgin Mary. The Spirit of God did it. You're very special, so that we could become very special. You made us to be very special. Thus, this fullness, the fullness of grace and truth. Well, full. Now, in order for me, I want to appreciate that. The Lord Jesus Christ expresses the fullness of God. He brings to me, to you, to every human being, all that God is, all that God can ever be. He brings to us the wonderful person of God. He makes possible for us to know God in all of his wonderment. Now, having said that, and he's full of grace and truth, well, I want to get the full part first. Full. He's full of grace and truth. Well, if you notice, please, in verse 16, and of his fullness have we all received, out of his fullness, out of it, it comes out. God brings, the Father brings himself in the Son brings himself in the Savior. The Son brings himself in the Savior, and we're able to understand God in all of his wonderment. God exposes himself to humans. God, we got all these different theories and philosophies, and we got all these different religions, our man-made religions, we do them. God, we got to get a hold of, is that what it's about? Is it about us humans trying to generate deity? Are we trying to be gods, which we can't be? Never. We all go to the dust of the ground. Now, in the light of that, in the word fullness, of his fullness have we received. Now, as he full, he brings to us the fullness of who God is. And then, in verse 16, the Lord Jesus Christ brings that fullness to us. Grace upon grace, remember, think of the waves of the ocean, substitution, one thing, one wave after another. One wave after another, not in substitution, I should say, in succession. Wave after wave after wave. God, you're going to pour out to us the fullness of who you are, like the waves of the ocean. One wave in place of another. Fullness. When will it ever end? Never. Never end. Who you are, what you're like, never end. Will it never end? God, grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Now, fullness. Back to that. Would you please note, in Colossians 1, let me do just a little to remind us, God is going to unfold this fullness. Now remember, the Apostle John already has what you're going to read. So when you read it, we're only reading what John already knew it. So now, here in Colossians and chapter 1, you will notice, please, if I may go, to verse 17. And a verse 16. Oh, I've got to do verse 15. I have to keep going. I don't want to say something and say, where'd that word come from? Verse 15, 1 and 15. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. He's the one that makes God able. We can see him, understand God. The invisible God is made visible. And skipping down if I can, verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He makes everything existent. Without him, it can't exist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that purpose that in all things he might have preeminence, first place. For, why should he have first place? For, it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. God manifested himself totally, wonderfully in the person of Jesus Christ. He put himself, and God said, you want to know, here I am in all my fullness, that you will have to come to me by way of the Son. I am the way, the Lord Jesus will say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We can't know you, God, apart from your Son. How are we going to understand the invisible, infinite, immortal, uncorruptible person that you are? Apart from your Son. You have to help us with your person, your saving grace, and your word. Now, over in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians in chapter 2. And you would note, in Colossians chapter 2, picking up in verse 9, for in him dwelleth, in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead, that which pertains to God, bodily existence. The bodily existence, the flesh, word become flesh, the magnificence, the manifestation of the magnificence of God. Here it is, the body, God, verse 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The Word become flesh, God in the Word, God making himself known in a most wonderful, wonderful way, in a wonderful way. The incarnation made all of that possible, the Lord being born in Bethlehem of Judea. And he made possible what? Verse 10. And ye are complete, remember the word complete, you draw a little line mentally over to the word fullness in verse 9, in him dwelleth all the fullness, and then you go to verse 10, and you are complete, the word full, fullness. For you are complete, filled full, whole, made whole, complete, in him, which is the head of all principality and power. He has made it so that we could become, be made in him, full. God, what was our purpose? Did you want me to be a partly what you want me to be? Do you want me to be halfway what I'm supposed to be? God, you created humans for a wonderful, wonderful purpose to represent you. They're made in the image and likeness of yourself. You're a person, and you made us persons so that we could enjoy your person. Now, God, here we are, and you made it possible for us to enjoy you. How much are we supposed to know you? Are we supposed to know you 50%, like I said, 10%? Are we supposed to know you a little bit? No, I want you to know me in my fullness. I want you to know me in my fullness. And by the way, it'll take all of forever for you to discover that. It'll take the rest of forever for you to discover what I am like. That's wonderful. You say, I'm going to get bored. A bored church bores me. Well, see, you can do that. It's all right. But if you're a believer, we aren't here to sing or dance or jump around or anything else. God's Word. In fact, looking back, you remember. Do you remember back in the 40s and 30s? No. Do you know they went to church They sang a hymn like you do, and they listened to the Word of God. That's why they went to church. They didn't come here. It isn't a club, as I said on Wednesday. We're not a picnic. It's where God is. And God has privileged you and me to be exposed to His wonderful person and to know Him. And remember years ago, you read all that stuff from yesterday in the 40s and that, when they lined up in Calvary Church in New York City and all that stuff, you know, more or less. And they did all that kind of stuff at 6 in the morning to get a seat to hear the Word of God. To get a seat to hear the Word of God. A different day. Today we have itching ears. True? Itching ears. We don't want to hear. We don't want to hear. No more. Don't tell us that. Because that means we got to honor God as God. That's right. Now, we are complete in Him. Made complete. How complete? How complete is being made complete? Full. Ephesians chapter 1. This completeness. You will know, please, in Ephesians and in chapter 1, and may I go directly to a little bit of the context, verse 20, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, God the Father, and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And having done that for the resurrected, wonderful body of our Lord Jesus Christ, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him, the God-man, our Lord Jesus Christ, gave Him to be the head, over all things to the church, which is His body, verse 23. So just to hang, you know all this. You have a head, most of you. You have a head, and you have a body. God gifted in His grace the church to have a position that Israel will never have, and never had and never will have. In the tribulation millennium, it'll never happen. Angels can never even consider it. You have been given a position in this special point dispensation in history to be placed in a relationship to God where the Lord Jesus Christ is your head. And you, the believing believers, belong in the body. That's why it's not a club. It's not an entertainment center. You are made to fit literally, to personally, in the presence of God, function in all of the fullness of God, to enjoy the fullness of God. We aren't interested in religion. We aren't interested in this system at all. God, what on earth is this about? We go to church on Sunday. It's about a unique relationship we're supposed to have to You as believers belonging to the body. That's why we can't get out. We can't play a game with it because we're believers. We belong in the body. Belong in the body, the same as most of you probably have lungs. And you want, if you have a lung problem, lungitis, if you have lungitis, would you ship your lungs out? Wouldn't you hang on to your lungs? Because your lungs belong in that body, and all of you and all the rest of the body is functioning, pushing to do its part, spleen, kidneys, pancreas, all of it, doing its part for what? To help the lungs heal and get healthy. Because you can't go away from the lungs, and the lungs can't go away from the body. We're believers. That's what a believer is. Not a church member. Church members ought to be good believers. They aren't always at all. But they should be. Now, in Ephesians, the point, catching it, verse 22, hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things of the church, which is his body. The body, think of the head, the body. The body, now, body, what does the body do? The fullness, there's your word, of him that filleth, there's your word again, all in all. He's the one that filleth all in all. All things in all, he fills them. He makes it work. So here's your body, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the life and love of the body. And so the body, you enjoy the wonderful life of the head, our Lord Jesus Christ. And the body enjoys the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the body, in a wonderful way, contributes to the head. The head is able to give expression to itself by way of the body. Now, you know we've done this different ways, 100 times. If I were here and I were to duck down behind the pulpit, and down there, and I was there, and you came in, and I covered myself in some cloth, and it came time to speak, and some sounds were made, and you wouldn't see anybody, but I put my hands out. What would that be a clue to, if you saw my hands? There must be a head, shouldn't you think? If there's hands, there must be a head. God, the body, is to manifest and make known by the hands, eyes, ears, nose, throat, the head. How do we make known? The Lord Jesus Christ, the invisible God. By way of the body of our Lord, body of the Lord Jesus Christ, we make that known, And thus we become visible believers, so that wherever we are noted and marked, there's a believer, a Christian, a person who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. Not Methodist, Baptist, Unitarian, or Mormon, or anything else. We're believers, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we evidence, work, home, school, play, we evidence His person. We belong to the head. Now, having said that, We complete two aspects of it that are wonderfully true. He provides all of God to us so that we can be God-like. How can saints be saintly without the Savior? You can't do it. So God, the Lord Jesus Christ, provides for us the fullness of God in the body, and the body completes the wonderful person of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the head, and the believers all coming together from Acts chapter 2 onward to the rapture. His body, his wonderful body. And so we have a wonderful position. Thus, chapter 3 of Ephesians. Chapter 3. This fullness that we have, we're complete in him, wonderfully so, that he fills us with all of his deity. How much more of God can you have if you're saved? You can't. When God gave you a son, he gave you himself. It's true. You can learn it and let it, you have to develop. You know, a little baby like this. Little baby. No, a little baby doesn't know beans much. And the little baby's there. And a little baby has to discover its world. It has to discover its world. It's physically born, and then it gets psychologically born, as they say. And then it gets born, and you have to pay attention. What is this world? What are these heads moving around me? I need my diapers. And I find if I make a noise enough, they're cleaned. And when I'm hungry, I make a noise enough, and I'm fed. I am going to have to develop being a little baby, being a human, and being an adult like you in the world. God gives you all of himself, and you have to allow that to develop and grow. And that's why we're little babies. We need to not be childish and childlike, but not childish. We need to grow in the knowledge and grace of God to understand our relationship. Who on earth saved me? Why did he save me? how, God, what kind of person are you? And that's why you've given us our Lord Jesus Christ and thy and your word, so that we can enjoy you and honor your person. Now, so verse 16, chapter 3, the prayer. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know what? The love of Christ which you are in the middle of. To know the in the middle of God, in the middle of the love of Christ, God is love. And now, verse 19, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. So we aren't going to try to analyze it, are we? Going to sit down and analyze and be playing academic game. We can't do it. You can't play an academic game. It won't work. It's out of our system. Verse 19, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, what for? So that we can understand what? That you might be filled, there's your word, filled with all the fullness of God. See? Now, how are you going to be filled with all the fullness of God? Well, I want to understand. You can't. God made himself known in his Son. And all you can do is be ever relationship based on his saving grace to his Son, and allow God to make himself known in all of his fullness. And if you're going to sit down and say, well, how if I went to Harvard, Yale, MIT, Oxford, Stanford, Caltech, if I went to them, I'd be with it. No, I wouldn't. A little kid would be better off than I am. A little kid that just says, God, thank you. And a little kid, God's going to go with him. Wow, that's right. That's right. God, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to go, and I want you to know that it's past your knowledge. All you can do is enjoy my person as I unfold it and make it known. We're doing that on Wednesday with the names of God, the wonderful expression of God's person, what he can do, how he does it, why he does it. God. So here we are looking to God. God, and you want us to know you in all of your fullness. We can't do it in ourselves with our intellect, you know. If I just went to Harvard, I'd be able to do it better. No. Probably if you went out with a few sheep in the desert, you'd probably get there faster, looking up at the stars and paying attention to the Creator. Now, in the light of that, verse 19, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And now, and what's that going to produce? God, if I'm letting you be God, I'm not coming to understand God. I want you to explain yourself. God doesn't have to explain anything, does he? You just honor him. That's all. Honor him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. In the beginning, Genesis 1:1, God. You start with God. You don't start with argument and debate and dialogue. You aren't talking to Buddha. You're talking to God. And you have to honor him. Thus, dear friend, in the light of all of that fullness, verse 20, now unto him that is able. God, are you able to perform what you just said? Yes. I am able to do. Exceeding, abundantly, above, all, exceeding abundantly above all, that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. God, it's something you have to do, and I have to humble my heart enough to understand my earthly existence, my temporal, fragile existence, and give you credit. And evolution and Freudian psychology and communism and humanism, that isn't going to help me. I'm not trying to play an intellectual game. No, God, I'm a real person. I have a real body. I live in a real world. The real world is getting more complicated, difficult, confusing, and corrupt. And it's going to be in great difficulty. God, I don't want to play a religious game. I don't want to play a church game. God, I want to have a rightness with you that I can go forward with understanding you who have a plan and purpose to make it all come out. So God, I'm going to trust you. That's what you told us. Waiting, what a believer's doing. They're waiting for your coming. They're looking unto you. They're waiting, running for the prize that is set, looking to you, running down the corridor of time, running down the corridor, moving forward, waiting for your coming. And we're looking up. We're looking out and up, God. And we look out more, and up, because the world around us, when we look around, requires we look more and up for the hope that you've given us in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, having said that, and in verse 21, since we're there, now unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end, amen. And here we are sitting, a local assembly of believers, sitting together. And all that we just did will never happen quite like that anywhere else in your life. Only the assembled body of believers will you know the wonderment of being in the body and the exercise. Outside of it, you'll never know it. You can be the most sincere, caring person. You can memorize the whole Bible. It won't produce what right now, we're just nobodies. We're nothings. We don't know anything. But God honors it. And that's where God works. Wow. And nowhere else. Nowhere else. No. God, there's no replacing you, what you're doing. Thus in chapter 4 of Ephesians, since we're there, Ephesians chapter 4, in the church, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, that's the purpose of the assembly, to make ready, fully equipped, to be able to minister, to serve. And in serving, what are you doing? What is your service? To build up the body, to build up the body of Christ. To get, what are the liver, all of them, what are they all doing? They're all working together. For what? They aren't doing it to go for the government. They're doing it for what? To keep your body healthy. What is the church doing? Functioning. To keep the body healthy. That's what it's doing. That's the purpose of it. You say, what's the purpose of clothing? No, I told you it isn't that. It's the last thing. And too many people, that's their view, unfortunately. Now, thus, chapter 4, verse 13. What is the, now, having said that, mumbled that out, till we all come in the unity of the faith, oneness of the faith, body of truth that is to be believed, of the knowledge, the truth is to help us understand the Son of God, unto a more perfect, full, complete man, growing up to be all that we ought to be. Unto, how much are we going to grow up? Unto the measure, how much? Of the stature, or the age, of the fullness of Christ. God, what are you trying to do? Ephesians 1:23, I'm going to give all my fullness to the body. The body is going to give its fullness to me. And we are going to be full, complete. Christ the head complete, the body complete, full, the full expression. Where are we headed? To be in your presence, even so come, to be in your presence, that we will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. We'll have a body like unto whose? His. For what? That we will represent him in all of his, represent him, not each other. In all of its fullness. Wow. God, so now, here we are. Ephesians 5. Now, having said all that, wonderful things to us, thus we remember, we need to keep in mind, if we can, in Ephesians 5 and in verse 18. I'll read verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Well, what is that? What is God's will? that be not drunk with wine. Don't be intoxicated. Don't be sidetracked. Let the liquor, wine, intoxicating beverage, flavor your thinking, dull your mind, quicken your mind in the wrong way, either way. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but in contrast, be filled with the Spirit of God, controlled, the filling to fill us all the way to the full, to fill all the way up in our heart, to show. Now, having said that, to show that in all of our heart, to have that fullness. Now, keeping in mind as you're reading John, in all the Christ, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. And we are filled full in him, in his fullness, grace upon grace upon grace. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, if you would, what was the world doing? Cheers, John, the last living apostle, looking back at the Jews, the Gentiles, and the world as it was proceeding. And you will understand better. John 1:10, you have to turn there. The world knew him not. John 1:11, the Jewish people received him not. You can understand that. So God, here's all the wonderful fullness of it. He came unto his own received him not. He said, all of you are with me. I want you to know, except you enjoy the fullness that I bring to you, God said, "Say it, God the Father, all the fullness that I bring to you in my Son. If you reject that, then you have nothing, nothing at all." And in John chapter 6, verse 63 and on, and many of his disciples walked no more with him. No more. God says it's the way it is. Oh, no, why can't we just have? No, because it isn't the way it is. God, you've done a wonderful thing for us. God, and we don't want to be like the church in Ephesus, which you're looking at in Revelation 2. They lost their first what? Love. They were busy doing functional. They had no heart. You got to have a heart. Without the heart, somewhere you're going to flunk. You got to have a heart for it. If you don't have a heart for it, I don't know what I can do. How do I give you a heart for the truth? I know the truth. Then I can't do anything. You and I are not on the same page. And there are many people that are not on that page. Not here, but elsewhere. They don't want to be on that page. That's their privilege. Now, having said that, be filled with the Spirit of God, looking to God. And remember now, if we had, and God has to do it, so let me help you with a little illustration. I meant to bring out a little cookbook. I have cookbooks over there. I wanted to bring out a cookbook with a picture on it. Picture. And this isn't very good. Just imagine this is your favorite dessert. You have to use your imagination. And here's the recipe. Here's the cookbook, recipe, picture. Oh, looks good. And then, here's the recipe, how to make this picture. Now, and you have the cookbook, and you know what the picture is, what you're trying to do, and here's the recipe. Do you need to follow the recipe to make, do you need to follow the ingredient procedure to make the cake or the whatever? Sure you do. Is it your recipe? Nope. It's God's recipe. The picture that you are trying to duplicate has to be made by God. You can't make this picture. You can't. Okay, all you can do is look in the recipe book at the pictures. You can't make it. You don't have the ingredients. It's God's picture, God's ingredients, God's cake. By the way, he's the cook. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, you can, and you got to have an oven. That you have. You have a heart. And God lets all kinds of activity take place to awaken your heart that God could produce the cake. God has to do it from start to finish. You want what God wants? Requires God. That's all. All there is to it. You leave God out of any part of it, you aren't going to get it. So you're looking for God to produce, to make practical, to make possible, to make it so that you can possess the wonderment of what God would do. Thus, in all of his fullness, God, we need to yield to you and look to you. If I can, over to Romans. Romans chapter 12. We sort of wandered a bit and stuff. I hope you got a little bit. Just, it's so needful to understand a believer. The believer needs to understand. He or she needs to be believing. And a believing believer is bound to God by necessity, because they can't produce anything apart from him. So God, we're stuck. That's right. Therefore, in Romans 12, 1, in summing up all of the great truths of Romans, chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world system, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, put to the test, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God, I want to have all of the wonderment that you have, and it requires you. I must yield to you. Now, God, when I yield to you, look to you, I don't need to fight you. I don't need to fight about it. I don't need to get in a very way that I have to beg you to do this. God, you want me to enjoy who you are. I don't need to beg you. I don't need to bully you. I don't need to threaten you. I don't need to say, if you don't do this, I'm gone. I don't have to do that. I don't have to do that at all. God, I can wonderfully just trust you and honor your word and honor your saving grace, honor the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Spirit of God, that's what you're going to do. You're going to make all of that happen. You're going to make the recipe work. You've got all the ingredients. You know just what you want to do and how you want to do it, when you want to do it. God, you're in charge. I want your will. I present my body a living sacrifice. And thus, God, I'm going to look to you. And in doing so, how am I going to do so? I'm going to let you control my life. How so? Well, here's a glass. And there's air in it, true? It's a scientific test. There's air. I'm trying to get the air out. Am I doing anything? In fact, I'll drink it. I made more air. The only way I can get the air out is to fill it and watch the air move. Just like that. Now, how are you going to get along with God if you're a believer? Well, God, how am I going to get? I got an old nature. My old nature is insistent on being what it is. It is not happy in being a believer. It won't be a believer. It disagrees with your word. It wants to have self-sovereignty, and that's what it does. So, among other things, God, how am I going to deal with it? Well, I'm going to beat it up and punch it put myself in some kind of program to discipline myself and to make it so I can do it. No, you don't have to do that. There's other things in life that you may want to do. You want to be an Olympic runner, a skater. You got to put a lot into it. But I just want to be a believer that you should have us to be. God, that's why the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry. It isn't my recipe. It isn't my power. They aren't my ingredients. I don't do it. God, you do it. That's right. I'm going to put this before I knock it over. God, we're going to fill. I'm going to allow you, Spirit of God, I'm going to yield to you, Ephesians 5:18. I'm going to yield to you, and as I yield to you, Light is going to come in my darkness. Going to come in my darkness. How am I going to exercise the power and presence of sin in my life? I'm going to look to you to fill. I'm giving you control, looking to you to help me to think right, to use a good common sense kind of living, and to do a biblical kind of living. And I'm going to look to you, God. And in looking to you, I'm going to look, and you're going to take care of the sin problem. The presence of sin, old nature, power of sin. I got it. But you know, when I look to God, and I allow God to be God in my life, God just does it. I didn't do anything. The recipe is in progress. I didn't do a thing. I gave God what he asked for me to trust him with all my heart. That's what he asked of me, and I gave it to him. And so, God, here I am. And in the process, God, I'm going to look to you, and you're going to be who you are. I'm not going to make a big deal about trying to do it myself. I need your help so that I think right, do right, and I can handle my general work, home, school, play, and handle it well, better. And God, I need that. So I'm going to look to you, your presence, your power, to do what you do. And you do it wonderfully so, God. I need to look to you. And in doing so, God, I am going to enjoy a wonderful freedom. A wonderful freedom. The truth will make me free. You're going to be who you are. I am going to learn who you are, God, in the thick and thin, the easy, the hard, the much, the little. God, I'm going to learn who you are. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to look and I'm going to wait upon you, God. I'm going to wait upon you. I'm going to trust you, God. And you know the good news, the gospel, good news, is the good news better than all the bad news? I don't know. Is the gospel greater than all of your life's history? Is the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ greater than your whole existence? Does it meet your whole existence? Sure it does. God is being to you what you and I aren't. He's being God to us. And if we just let him do it in a simple, wonderful, trusting way. Do you know Guido René, he's the great sculptor, painter. A fresco, he did a fresco, which is a watercolors on wet plaster. And he did that in a place in Rome, on the walkway there. You look up at the big ceiling, and here's the aura, which means dawn. The dawn, the goddess of dawn, he did. And here's this whole ceiling with this dawn, the aurora. And you're way down below looking up in the cement, and you're looking like this, and your neck gets trying to see up there. That's right. Well, you know what they did to help? They took a mirror and put it on a little table, elevated it, and put it on a table and had chairs as such for those that wanted it, and had it so that they put the mirror down so that you could sit. And without going up and losing things because it's too high, too much for me to handle this, then they did what? They lowered it down from the ceiling down to the mirror. And people could sit very comfortably and look at the mirror and study the ceiling. God has made it very wonderful. You can look at our Lord Jesus Christ and study the God of heaven. Look up. Wow. Now look down to the wonderful person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God will do a wonderful work in your heart. I wish I could have done this better for you. The fullness of God is something else. I can tell you what I'm going to look at it, all the fullness. What's it going to bring us? Well, but I need to know what it is. That God would bring all that he is in his Son to you and me to know him. Yeah. That's something else. There's no one anywhere, my friend. No religion in the world can even touch it. No rationale, no philosophy, no agenda, no system can replace knowing the invisible God in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father and God, we thank you very, very much. Help us in our... Oh, God, we need your help. We just said it anyway. We aren't going to make anything. We had recipe, no recipe, words, just words. Unless you are behind them. Unless you make them work. And we need to be believing and resting in who you are, God, to allow you to produce in our little lives, inch by inch, foot by foot, mile by mile, that wonderful exercise, the wonderful experience, the wonderful enjoyment of the experience of living and being alive on planet Earth. God, help us for each dear one, God, who knows thee not as their Lord and Savior. May they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him into their heart and life as their Lord and Savior. Thank you for making that possible. And for those of us who profess to know you, God, help us. Help us to understand more and more, better and better, that we would be the beneficiaries of all that you provide for us. God, thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. And perhaps we can sing a stanza, please, as we close. 2886.